Hello, everybody. My name is Bill Buckmaster, the host of the Buckmaster Show, the host with the most, because I've got Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Tom, I don't want to sound like a broken record here, and I brought it up at the beginning of the show Monday and the beginning of Tuesday, but the air quality is really, really bad. I just popped a Tylenol before the show because this smaze in the air has just given me a headache, I'm telling you.
Smaze? Is that a combination of smog?
Smoke.
And haze?
It's smoke and
haze.
Oh,
smoke, okay.
It's smoke from the California fires that is migrating into our area. Not so much Oregon anymore. Most of that's under control. But if you go to any of these air quality services websites, you'll see all that yellow coming over from California to Phoenix and Tucson.
Well, at least we do have a bright spot in that the air quality is to improve over the next few days and into the weekend to get even better. So while it may not be at alert levels, it's definitely right at a nuisance level, especially for people that are sensitive to it.
Like myself. Anyway, it is Buckmaster. We are midweek edition already, Wednesday, middle of September already. It's the 15th of September, 2021. My goodness, where has year 11 gone? This is year 11 on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station that we broadcast from is 1030. The call letters KVOI, like K-Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and kvoi.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, with me in studio is Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo is the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, which is Southern Arizona's largest school district, now serving approximately 40,000 students through 89 schools and various programs. Dr. Trujillo, how are you?
Doing very, very well, Bill, and always very happy to be here.
You know, most people forgot that this thing is 18 months old. And I'm talking about COVID, and this is the anniversary, the 18-month anniversary of when things really went south. Why don't we pause at the beginning of our interview with you to look at Tucson Unified before and now after the COVID epidemic, 18 months into it?
Yeah, it's very much a tale of two districts. As I just celebrate year four in the superintendency, which in the life of a TUSD superintendent is like year 20. Okay.
But there have been a few of them before.
There have been a few. Yeah. So I just found out that, you know, at 4 years, I'm actually one of the longer serving superintendents.
Did you just celebrate that anniversary?
Just did. Yeah. Well, just did. It was, became the permanent superintendent August 24th, 2017. So, you know, celebrating 4 years. But when I reflect, the brightest lights shone heading into the 18-19 school year. The district was riding as high as it had ever been. Certainly in my tenure, we were able to put $4.5 million back into the budget because we had 1,000 more students, first time that had happened. We had just got approval to reopen Wakefield Middle School. We were getting ready to reopen or to open for the first time Innovation Technology High School. Our AZ merit scores came back better than we had ever seen them. We significantly increased the amount of B and A schools and C and D schools moving into the category of C. We had 6 to 8 percentage point improvements in math pretty much across the board. Still struggling a little bit with middle school enrollment and grades. So that challenge was there. We had filed for unitary status at that point, feeling confident. Around Christmas time of 19. And we really were feeling good about the district finally turning a corner in areas
in
like
enrollment.
In your
career, this was almost a high point.
This was probably the high point in terms of like when I reflect on where we've been. And I feel like that just kind of all came, well, not kind of, it did. It came crashing down on March 16, 2020, that was the start of what's been an 18-month, I'll just call it an ordeal. Mm-hmm. At times a nightmare, but most of the other times just a significantly challenging ordeal. And now when you look at the district, we are struggling to put the pieces back together. We are up 800 students, and that's good that we are just about 800 students above where we were at this time last year.
But you lost a bunch of them.
But the bad news is that we lost 2,400 students as of the 40th day last year, and increasing by 800, that although that is good and it's a sign of a recovery, it's just the first step in the recovery because it's about a third of what we lost. The AZ merit scores have not been kind in terms of a picture of just the kind of learning loss. And I don't want to use the term learning loss because I don't think you ever lose learning, but I do think you can regress in terms of what's been lost with instruction in math and English language arts, particularly in some crucial grade levels for us, middle schools, and then also certainly K-3. So we're now back. We've been back since August 5th, and we're very much trying to put these pieces back together, pieces that have been exacerbated by the employment situation that has led to shortages in critical areas like special education, paraprofessionals and teachers. Bus drivers have been crucial for us, being able to go find reading specialists, counselors, and social workers. All of these positions are crucial to help kids recover from time out of the classroom. And because of the pandemic's overall effect on the economy and unemployment and the employability of these key positions, our recovery efforts have been exacerbated by not having these positions filled.
And the whole online learning is such a work in progress. It's so controversial.
Online learning wasn't the best experience for the bulk of the district. And I think that that's reflected in the overwhelming majority of our district that's back for in-person learning. When you look at the size of our district, yes, we have 2,400 students that are right now in our Tucson Unified Virtual program, but you got 38,000 other kids that want to be back and that are back in-person learning. And I think that's just an indication of what the will of the parents and the students has been. They want that social interaction that only happens from peer to peer. They want a relationship with the teacher, a personal relationship. They want a sense of community. They want access to on-the-ground resources at their schools that you don't get sitting in front of a computer on Zoom.
And there's the health piece of this. Dr. Cullen, who is the Pima County Health Director, yesterday talked about the update. 1,800 school reported cases of COVID, 66 outbreaks in Pima County schools since the semester began. Dr. Cullen said about 1,600 of those who've been infected in school-related cases are students, and the rest staff and faculty. And 2 weeks ago, health officials reported there were 50 outbreaks in local schools. So at Tucson Unified, what is considered an outbreak? What's the protocol, Dr. Trujillo?
Well, the protocol is, you know, when you have two or more students inside of a classroom.
Two or more at the same time with COVID.
Yes. And especially when they are not from the same household. That is every indication of an outbreak. And we've been lucky in Tucson Unified, and even Pima County Health Department has gone on the record and said that our mask mandate has us at some of the lowest infection rates across grade levels when you compare us to other unmasked, if you will, district entities in Southern Arizona. So it's just a difficult situation. I make no secret that, you know, I have evolved during this 18 months from a place of understanding and patience with the anti-vax community to a place of frustration and quite frankly, anger at the irresponsibility of not getting the vaccine and contributing to a dangerous situation in our schools.
You're angry about it,
right? I'm angry about it.
I can see it in your face. You're angry.
I'm frustrated and angry with our legislature. I'm frustrated and angry with a governor's office that has politicized a public health issue and that has made it difficult for educators to take the necessary steps to secure our learning environments. And I'm angry and frustrated with the anti-vax community that's actively contributing to what I think is an already dangerous situation and escalating transmission in Pima County. So I'm very much looking forward to taking the next steps to work with our governing board to implement the parameters of the executive order that was issued last week coming out of the White House.
Mm-hmm. So you think that that order would supersede what the governor is saying here for Arizona?
It wouldn't on the mask issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still going to be responsible.
But the vaccine
On the vaccine issue, it will, because it's going to be coming through OSHA. And OSHA, of course, with its regulation over workplace safety, is going to have the final say. So the very early indications are that this executive order is going to empower school districts to require either weekly testing, mm-hmm. if that's what the unvaccinated employee wants, or an opportunity to receive the vaccine. And for me, most of my frustration, Bill, is with the adults. Mm-hmm. The adults know better. Mm-hmm. We work with young people all the time. So an anti-vax student for me is very different than an anti-vax adult, mm-hmm. that should and does know better. Mm-hmm. Young people make poor choices all the time.
And they may be heard somebody say something,
yes.
and they think it's cool maybe to be anti-vax,
yes.
or whatever.
And it's our job to be patient and to be graceful and to work with our kids. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to cheer you up right now, because we're going to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, Dr. Trujillo. This might help some of your anger right now. If I was to give you one of those beautiful cups of coffee from Mona's, and I'm going to give you a choice, one of their plain butter croissants, a chocolate croissant, or the almond croissant, which would you go with right now with your particular mood?
If I'm at Mona's and I'm having a cup of coffee, yeah. I would actually go with the blueberry crinkle. But
thank you.
If yes. I'm to choose of the croissants, I'm going to go with the chocolate.
The chocolate.
Yeah.
Give you that little bit of a boost right now, that chocolate.
Absolutely.
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, as Tom likes to say, it's a light and flaky. No, wait a minute. Tom's saying is it's a light and tasty multi-layered pastry. There you go. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They're open right now for lunch. They're open daily for breakfast. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll take a break right here. More with Dr. Trujillo and me, Bill Buckmaster, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining planned projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're having our conversation with Tucson Unified School District Superintendent Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, who just recently celebrated his four-year anniversary officially as the superintendent. You were the acting superintendent, what, for about 6 months?
Yeah, it was about close to 6 months.
Yeah. And there'd been musical chairs there in that superintendent role. And you've brought, to your credit, you've brought stability. And that board, this composition of the board, seems to be folks getting along and trying to take care of business.
Oh, I think so. I think even beyond getting along, I'll say getting things done. I mean, you look at some of the key decisions that they've been able to make in just such a short time together. Whether it's multi-million dollar support packages for the arts or for facilities or their navigation of the COVID environment, they've done an outstanding job.
So getting back, you've got this personnel shortage in key positions, and it's not just Tucson Unified. It's pretty much an area situation, isn't it?
It is, and I think what's most pronounced is the bus driver situation. It's not unique to TUSD. It's a nationwide challenge that I think is exacerbated by the pandemic. I think the unemployment benefit that recently expired, though well-intentioned, definitely well-intentioned, I think inadvertently created an environment that incentivized a lot of high-quality applicants to sit out the application pool. And unfortunately, that led to several school districts across the nation, us included, starting the school year understaffed in key areas, especially bus drivers, and then also in custodial. And custodial is also a key position because that's what's implementing a lot of the COVID mitigation strategies around campus cleanliness and hygiene.
Do you need special provisions to be a bus driver?
You do.
Like a special driver's license or something?
Yeah, you need the commercial driver's license. Okay. And Tucson Unified, like other districts, we offer the training in-house. It's 40 hours of classroom instruction.
Wow, you do offer that.
We do offer it. And then we also provide the road test or the hours behind the wheel, if you will. There's like an additional 15 hours that you have to do behind the wheel under the supervision of one of our trainers. We'll pay the cost to go get your CDL. And then you get $1,000.
Wow.
So yeah, you get $1,000 signing bonus. And then of course we start at $16 an hour. So if you're a bus driver out there, come on and work for TUSD.
Yeah. You did have to change your protocol at the beginning of the school year then about how transportation was implemented.
We did. Due to the staffing shortage, we had to really just restructure the transportation services and go from traditional neighborhood routes where, to give you an example, Bill, a neighborhood route would be for the Buckmaster household, your route to school is across the street. And so that's your route to your local school. We had to move from that system to a hub-based where now, okay, for the Buckmaster household, your established transportation port might be three blocks away or even a mile away.
So you've got to get the student to that hub.
You have to get the student to that hub. As we are now making hires and working with contracted vendors, we've been able to put several neighborhood routes back. So the families are doing a lot better But that is not the way that we wanted to start school. And so hopefully throughout this school year, we're going to work really, really hard executing some key recruitment strategies to try to get the drivers that we need to be running at full capacity and restore all of those neighborhood routes that our families enjoy.
Now, getting back to the masks, you indicated you feel they really have helped keep the number of COVID cases down. I'm also wondering about all the air handlers, the air equipment that you replaced throughout the schools. I wonder if that's paying benefits.
I think it is. We were able to take about $1.5 million and retrofit some of the oldest HVAC systems and indoor air systems that we have in the district and retrofit them up to what's known as the rating system. There's a MERV rating system, and we've been able to retrofit back up to MERV 13, which is the highest rating recommended by the CDC with regard to indoor air quality. So
that's students helped. Are learning in a clean air environment.
They're learning in a significantly cleaner air environment than pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And of course, our purchase of indoor air purifiers on top of that in every single classroom and every single office space, in addition to the masking, I think has really kept our transmission rates down. So that's some good news.
Financially, the district is okay?
You know, financially, we're doing well. I think the big question on the table, Bill, is the fate of $10.2 million that we believe the state of Arizona owes us in desegregation funding. Obviously, the appeals court felt differently. We recently lost, so we're one for one. Mm-hmm. And it's 1-1 in the battle. Mm-hmm. And we're headed to the Supreme Court based off of the direction our governing board gave our legal team at the last meeting. We're going to take our case to the Arizona Supreme Court. And the essential question is, will the state of Arizona be accountable for funds owed to the Tucson Unified School District in the area of desegregation for exceeding the 1% cap on property taxes for the years 18, 19, and 19, 20? We believe the answer is yes, for the reason that we didn't choose to be under court order. That order was imposed on us. It's not like a bond or an override where we choose to engage in that effort. Therefore, we believe that the state owes us this money because it's 1% over what is fair for the taxpayers to pay. That's why we have the cap.
And the court, the DSEG order is now no longer in effect?
We've been declared in unitary status. So
by Judge Burry, is it?
By Judge Burry. Mm-hmm. So we're just awaiting the formal termination of the case, which could come at any week at this point.
Is it a loss in revenue?
At this point, it is not. Because the $10.5 million, we've been able to be okay because we've, number one, we've had an influx of so much federal money that's been able to fill some of the holes that the $10.2 million would have been utilized and needed for funding. Secondly, with almost 800 students coming into the district, it looks like we're going to be in a position of putting $3.5 million back into our budget. And then because the district was closed most of the year last year, we had underspending occurring in a lot of operational areas. Less routes running, less money spent on fuel, less money spent on food. We're able to carry over almost $5 million. So thankfully, we're in a good spot. We will not be in that spot for 22-23.
Well, that was my next question. When does the federal money run out?
You know, we're going to need this $10.2 million coming into the 22-23 school year.
Yeah, because you're going to have to start crunching those numbers here pretty soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So here we are now. We've got about 2 minutes to go. In conclusion, where is the district right now?
I think the district right now is doing very, very well with in-person learning. We're up 800 students. We're focused our efforts on academic recovery for students that are coming off a year or more of learning loss. And we are focused on creating the safe environment necessary, and we're pivoting now towards implementation of the executive order that came out of the White House last week. And we want to do that and get that up and running before hopefully fall break, because we understand and we know that the Delta variant will hit hard over the holidays.
So that, Max, the that Labor Department enforced mandate would have a big deal. It'd be a big deal for Tucson Unified because obviously you've got more than 100 employees.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And athletics are obviously in the fall. It's outdoors. So you, with the exception of volleyball, I guess you're pretty much up and running.
We're up and running full strength for the fall sports season. All of those sports are outdoors, golf, cross country, football. And the only one that has heavy mitigation efforts going on is volleyball. Volleyball, of course, is indoors, and all of our attendees at those games are masked.
All right, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, thank you very much. We'll look forward to speaking to you and get an update in a month or so. Thanks a lot.
Always good to be here, Bill. Stay safe and healthy.
Thank you very much. It's the Buckmaster Show, the midway point of our midweek edition. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, will be coming up right after we take the CBS Network News break, and we'll hear from the great Buckmaster Show sponsors, the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, and our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. CBS Network News is coming up.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Now would be a perfect time to do your fall planting. After all, this is the last full week of summer. Officially, fall will be upon us next week. So normally the fall season is a bit kinder to our plants. Not just normally, but it is. I mean, I think that's pretty much a fact. So go buy Green Things. Our 13-acre site is chock full of everything you need for your garden. It's also home to Zocalo Village and all that great merchandise. Much of it is handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The two websites you need to know, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat, representing the second ward in the city. Paul, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Bill. Thanks for having me on. It's great to have our monthly visit.
I want to talk a little bit about the vaccination situation for city employees. We had a news story, and Tom Fairbanks, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not up on the screen, but I was looking at Tom, the stuff that was on the screen while you were reading, doing your headlines. There it is. A report shows that the city's numbers, when it comes to the vaccine mandate, nearly 83% now of workers have been vaccinated. That's pretty good.
We have 518 people that are exempt and 166 people who are not vaccinated and are being tested once a week. The rest of our employees, some 3,900 of them, are vaccinated.
Wow. As far as the vaccine mandate, though, that has been put on hold for the moment?
Well, our mandate expires by the 29th of September anyway.
Okay.
But now there's three different pieces of litigation or four different pieces of litigation going every which way, along with what the feds did. So there's litigation against that, against the litigation of the litigation. I mean, I don't want to make light of it. I could have a play on words and kind of make a joke of it. It's not funny because, yes, there's four to five different civil actions through different jurisdictions that we're either party to or we're what's called an amicus, a friend of the court, and filing our own opinion to it. And so it's kind of become a bunch of gobbledygook. And at the end of the day, the real discussion is, in the interest of public health, what is in the best interest of public health? And that's pretty much the question you have to ask yourself. As I said on this show before, I wasn't a big fan of the five-day suspension, but I do feel that we don't have to be I wasn't going to die on the hill on the five-day suspension to vote against encouraging and imploring our employees to be vaccinated. I wasn't going to do that. So that was the big thing. It was with a heavy heart we had the five-day suspension in there. That was the thing that I think really upset people. But, you know, other jurisdictions are changing how they do insurance premiums. They're offering $300 stipends and for people to be vaccinated. I mean, there's a lot of things that other jurisdictions are doing as well to incentivize it. So, and I'm surprised those are being challenged just as well. So at this point, we're slicing hairs on, you know, what the best course of action is. I feel that our program was successful in moving the needle, and I feel that we are dedicated to having city employees ensuring that the holistic public health and safety is number one.
The front page of the Star talked today about the fact that some transportation from rural hospitals to Tucson is just not possible because people who have COVID are occupying the ICU wards, and the vast majority of those people are not vaccinated. When you hear that, and then you hear the anti-vaxxers say, Paul Cunningham, it's my right. It is my right not to get the shot. What about the right of the individual who recently died because he couldn't get to a Tucson hospital because there was no room?
Well, and again, it's about public health. What's number one for public health? I represent the body politic, all 515,000 people of the city of Tucson. that's who votes man. So I'm thinking about that. This is about the species, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, I'm pro vaccine. I think we should implore it as much as we can. I think that it's almost a responsibility. I think there are definitely exceptions, and I understand that. But the bottom line is that if we're really going to talk about public health, let's be serious and talk about it. And the bottom line is that every single time we have a person that's not vaccinated, you're risking a new variant, you're risking a mutation, you're risking changes in the virus. Viruses mutate, obviously, every few months. Ultimately, we're going to have a virus-resistant vaccine. Then we're going to have to come up with a new vaccine. And then we're going to be starting this all over again. And until we get to like a 95% vaccination rate of the entire population, it's never going to end.
Let me ask you a little bit about the $15 minimum wage. Is that still going to be on the city ballot this November?
Yes, they gathered enough signatures. They filed it. I think there's some concerns with the bureaucratic side from the business community. I think there's some concerns on the other side about maybe we could go faster and get to $15 an hour faster because it may actually slow down what the market forces are. So, I mean, there's discussion about it. I endorse the thing in my core values. I believe in a $15 minimum wage. That is a living wage in the United States. But, you know, again, it's really about how we go about it and how it's executed and how it's implemented. And those are the details. And those are the details of how we're able to gather data and to ensure it's successful. I think that the elephant in the room right now is that the city of Tucson prides itself as a city of gastronomy and restaurants and fine dining. We've kind of been trailblazers around the country. There are multiple restaurant companies that started right here in Tucson that have now branched out across the country. And right now, the way our tip wage is set, it's not helpful. And you know, look, everyone knows after when I worked on the curfew that we had to take care of our bartenders and waitresses. But right now, we got to take a look at what our line cooks and our dishwashers are doing too. We have a situation right now where we'll have a group of people go out to dinner and they'll have a exquisite dining experience and they'll maybe pay $150 for four people or six people at a fancier place, right? And what'll happen is the person who waited on them will get $30 or $40, but the person who cooked that steak in the kitchen or cooked that food, they got paid $15. And then actually they cooked about five different meals in that time, so they got paid maybe $3 for that table. There's some back of the house, front of the house inequality there, and we've got to figure out a way to ensure that these restaurants are going to be financially viable. Otherwise, we're going to be back to having a lot of open storefronts or vacant storefronts in the next couple of years. So we've got to be really careful, and that's probably the elephant in the room that vexes me the most. And we've got to have the restaurant community come together to find some solutions on that.
And there is a shortage of restaurant workers right now.
Yes. I mean, well, there's a shortage of workers no matter what. I mean, let's be honest. It's not easy to get someone hired right now. It is after school daycare, school staff, bus drivers, police officers. I can name 15 or 16 different sectors that are all hiring and have been hiring since July 1st.
Yeah, we just had Dr. Trujillo on for a half an hour talking about the shortage in key areas like bus drivers. The district will even train you if you're at all interested in becoming a school bus driver. They'll put you through the 40-hour course, and they'll pay for you to get the particular license you need.
Yep, you get a CDL.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst-case scenario is you get your CDL paid for by two. I mean, I can't even tell you how important this is. So anyway, yeah, I think that's been the issue all the way around, and we'll continue to work the problem one step at a time. I mean, that's really the issue. But right now we have a labor shortage in the United States, and it's not just Tucson, it's all over.
All right. Hang on the line there, Paul Cunningham. By the way, you sound good. We've got a very good line for you. I don't know if you got a new cell or what, but it sounds really good. We will pause right here with Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, and we'll take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040 if you'd like to ask or comment in any way on City Matters, Paul would be happy to take your call or comment. Thank you. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you feel like you've just got to get away, here's a suggestion. Hop in the car, drive or truck 3 hours east of Tucson, approximately, to Silver City. I think the air quality is actually better. I looked at the air quality map. It's better over in Silver City, and I know it's cooler. Looking ahead to the weekend, temperatures, overnight lows in the 50s by Sunday, mid-80s. So very pleasant late summer, early fall conditions in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Find out more by going to southwestnewmexico.org for more information about places to stay and all sorts of great things to do. Our monthly conversation now continues with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, Democrat representing the 2nd Ward in the city. And I saw in the front, on the front page of the Arizona Daily Star, there are new rules that provide guidelines for those 5G pole placements. But Paul Cunningham, I guess these are just kind of suggestions, right?
Well, we don't have... There is enabling legislation for the 5G placement through the state of Arizona, so we have to be in adherence to those parameters. But we also, what we're trying to do is we're trying to meet them where they are. We're trying to go to the cell phone companies and say, hey, look, if you're going to run a 5G, run it at a post that already exists. So if there's a streetlight post or an already existing utility post with wires on it, can you please co-locate there? And that is one less post. So that's kind of where that's been our strategy so far. I think it's been pretty effective. There's been a few exceptions. And the worst thing is when a constituent or a neighbor wakes up and all of a sudden there's a post in front of them. There's a giant antenna in their front yard. They don't like it.
That would be horrible.
Not only that, there's a lot of information out there about the radiation factor of these 5Gs and whether they're dangerous. Again, it is not. It's unproven science, but it's science that it's definitely got two sides, and you definitely have to listen to it. I can tell you this, just from a regular person standpoint, I don't necessarily want a high powered 5G antenna in front of my front yard, whether or not it's completely safe or not. So that you've got to see it both ways there. I understand that the easements, but let's be a little smart and try to co-locate as best we can.
Yeah, because these things are 35 feet tall, these structures. They have damaged private landscaping, and many people say, like you, that there are health implications here as well. So
I didn't say that there are health implications. I said there are suspected health implications.
Okay.
I want to be very clear. I don't want to be accused of being a conspiracy theorist about that, because it's not what I've seen is that you get a report about the health implications, and then you get another report that there aren't.
Okay.
And so I think there's two sides to it, but I've got an open ear. I'm gonna give it the best look over I can and understand it the best I can.
Okay, very important word there, suspected health implications or alleged health implications. One thing that isn't alleged is that the water rate increase is going ahead for those in the outlying areas, correct?
I think it is, but remember, we're waiting for the cost of service analysis. We're doing the due diligence piece. I think the cost of service analysis will verify the things that I've said on the show before. But again, what I'll tell you is, like 95% of the customers, the delta is under $5 a month per residence. So that's the average delta. Now, there'll be a few residences out there that are using a lot of water, and they may see a bigger increase, but most, I'd say 90 to 95% of residences, whether you're in the foothills, San Clemente Valley, wherever you are looking at a less than $5 a month increase. More importantly, I'm already looking into different land uses, especially if you're kind of urban farming or you're on a large lot and you're kind of, there's something to be said about the rural roads and the rural feel that we have in the outer part of the county. There's value to that. And so if we're going to be low density out there, then there may be some exemptions that are going to be needed to be carved out. And I'm good with that. I'm okay with that.
So as a resident of the foothills, which I am, you're saying I would expect maybe a $5 on average monthly increase, and that would be every month over a 12-month period?
Yeah, it would be about $4.88 a month. That's how much extra you pay.
Mm-hmm. But what about after the first year? Would that go up?
I don't think so. I think I've had enough of fighting the differential rate fight. I don't think we'd increase it more. That's kind of up to what the council does. I think there's a lot of things to be said about that. But at this point, I don't actually believe that. I think that the differential rates will probably lock in at those rates for a few years at least. And then it'll be a bigger discussion about municipal services and how we want to be as a region and what we're going to do.
All right. In my stack of stuff, I have I want to get an update on the expansion of the Reed Park Zoo. Do you have anything that you could add about that?
Say that again, Bill. I lost you for 30 seconds.
The final item here in my stack of stuff about, I'd like to know, is there anything new on the expansion of the Reed Park Zoo?
Yes, I think there'll be some news in the next week. Mm-hmm. I think we've come to a unilateral decision on how the best way to move forward all the way around, the best thing for the park, the best thing for the neighborhoods in the park, and the best thing for the animals in the zoo. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's I'm under the impression it's pretty much finalized, and they want to present it to some of the stakeholders before they make it public. But I think it's a good solution and it's something that I intend to endorse.
Generally, as far as our recreation facilities, are they all open now in this era of COVID?
Yes, for the most part, but we have stringent practices as far as social distancing, as far as ventilation, as far as masking, to ensure that the public is protected from COVID and protected as much as they can be. At least the risk is mitigated, so that the use of our facilities, you know, that's about human wellness. That's about holistic wellness of our community. So we want those facilities open, but we have to be cognizant of mitigating COVID and protecting everyone.
One of the areas you're teaching social studies this semester, correct?
Believe it or not, I've moved to physical education.
Oh.
But I used to teach social studies, and now I'm a PE teacher, so I do both. But go ahead and ask me the social studies question, because I'm really dialed in on the whole education.
Just wondered how the kids were reacting, and obviously in this COVID environment.
I think there's a lot of challenges with the kids on where we are at all middle schools around the state, but I can't be prouder of the kids that I teach and the people I teach with. I think our teachers are so brave right now to go in, especially having to go into rooms with 20, 30 kids that are probably, they can't be vaccinated, and you're willing to do that every day because you know how important their learning process is, how important it is. Their social maturation rests on a classroom environment. So I'm really proud of our teachers right now.
But the kids are very excited to be back in person.
Yes.
All right, Paul, we will let you go a little early here, even though I've got another minute with you, because I know you need to get back to the classroom or to outdoors, to the physical education side of things. Thank you very much, Paul Cunningham.
Bill Buckmaster, thanks for having me on. I love our monthly visits. It's a great way for Tucson to be engaged, and I appreciate what you do for our community. It's an honor to be on the show every month, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Paul Cunningham, the Democrat representing Ward 2 in the city of Tucson. All right, coming up tomorrow, we will hear from Pima County Supervisor, the lone Republican on the five-member board. That's Steve Christie. And Keith Rosenblum will be along with our Mexico report. Lots to talk with Keith about as the Biden administration has reopened economic talks with the government of Mexico. We'll talk about that. Also get a COVID update on how things are going south of the border and when the border may reopen as far as land use travel back and forth for the border. You can commercially fly into Mexico, but it's a different story concerning when you are driving. There are all sorts of restrictions. We'll talk with Keith about that. It's Buckmaster. Looking forward 23 hours or so from now for the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. But for our midweek edition, September 15th, I'm Bill Buckmaster saying thanks for listening. And Tom Fairbanks, thank you for engineering, producing. As usual, great show. Be right back in 23 hours.